millstone. Baruch HaMabayim to the sixth in the continuing shiurim and lectures on the section of the Tamiya Mitzvahs in the Rambam's Meir Nevuchim. I want to open up. I understand that there were several questions that were sent in, which might help clarify some of the concepts we spoke about last time. Yeah.
So Rabbi Tribbetz, Ben Milch asked the following question. According to the Rambam, Olam Haba is a purely intellectual place, which a person achieves through using the intellect. What about a person who was not blessed with the kelim to be an intellectual, is unable to think? Does that mean they're not going to get...
That's a good question. It's a good question. I'm not sure what the answer is. I could hazard a guess. Is that the Ababanel, at the end of his book, Rosh Hamana, says that the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the 13 principles of the faith of the Rambam, were intended for people who are not so literate, in other words, not so intellectual. So it could possibly be that the Rambam wrote his Yud Gimel Ikrim, that even people who cannot understand, let's say, the rigorous proofs or derivations or intellectual concepts, either in the existence of these that which can be proven, nonetheless, if they believe be'emuna pshuta, the Yud Gimel Ikrim, then by virtue of this they get to Olam Haba too. In other words, the Rambam wrote according to the Ababanel, says this explicitly, he wrote Yud Gimel Ikrim for those people who do not have enough intellect to understand the concepts rigorously. That's what I would say.
Another question. The Rabbi Tribbetz 2 weeks ago spoke about the Klalim and the Pratim, that the Rambam gives the Tam for the general principle but not for the details. Rav Shimshon Hirsch, for example, gives explanation for the details of all of the Korbanos. How would the Rambam relate?
Rabbi Hirsch gives the details. Rabbi Hirsch had no Kabbalah, had no Masorah tradition on these details. I mean, well, anyone could take any type of detail and create an elaborate theory. In other words, the fact is that Rabbi Hirsch's philosophy, while it's very beautiful, it's worthwhile to read, and it's inspiring. It's arbitrary. One could, create a contending theory which explains the same thing.
Would the Rambam say that that's wrong, or that it's just...
No, I don't think the Rambam would say it was wrong. The Rambam would say is that, in other words, the Rambam wouldn't say it's wrong. The Rambam would say, I think the Rambam would say, in other words, one could create a elaborate theory explaining the interconnection of the details, but one should not think that this is what God intended. In other words, there could be a beauty which can inspire a person. In other words, the Rambam would take probably the position of the Ramban in the time of mitzvahs, that the details, constructing a theory, might have beauty and meaning and spiritual message for the person himself. But one cannot claim that this is what God intended. Okay, fine. We're going to be beginning now with chapter 29, and chapter 29 is really the Rambam's view of history. And it's a central chapter in the Tamiya Mitzvahs, as well as the Meir Nevuchim. And there the Rambam is actually going to give us his account of the, I would call, the history and evolution of monotheism. Okay? So we'll begin, once again, chapter 29, section 3. I'm going to be reading from the Schwartz edition on page 521. Okay, now, Yadua... Shavom Avinu Godel Ba'adas Hatzabia. In other words, the Rambam understands that the Rambam refers to the paganism that existed at the time of Avraham Avinu, of Abraham, was what he calls the Sabians. I think in English it's called the Sabians. I'm not going to go into detail as to the history of the Sabians, etc., etc., but we will actually bring in... I'll actually give a historical reference a little bit later on, and we'll try to understand this in historical context. She tells him, "She'ena lo yazula sakachov." The Sabians believed that there was no God except for the stars. Kasher ovil idiaska perakzes sefreim abatsuyim ata biadenu, v'shetugim loloshan aravis v'yas sefrei historia kedumim shalem v'agalachal piyim eshitasim moserasayim. The Rambam says, "I'm going to inform you in this chapter." About the books that we have that were translated from the Arabic, which actually describe the belief, the pagans of the Sabians. Okay? Yisbar lecha mitochem shem oim b'mufurash shakachavim hem aloya v'ashemesh aloya hagadol b'yosim. It was clear from these books as the Rambam that they actually worship the stars and they worship the sun. It's the Rambam seems to refer to the fact they believe that all the stars were actually deities, but that the great deity was in fact actually the sun. Now the fact is that Avraham Avinu comes from Or HaKasdim, and you know, modern archaeology would tell us that in fact, or modern ancient history would tell us that Avraham Avinu lived in Chaldea with the Chaldeans, and is well known. The Chaldeans actually were astronomers, and so it makes in fact a lot of sense. And in fact, what they did was they worshipped the stars, the sun, the celestial bodies. Okay, Kamokin gam hem omrim gal shivas hakachavim em elim. They thought that the seven planets are types of gods. Avushneim ba'ayos hakadilim yosim. But the sun and the moon were even greater gods. They believe that the sun, in fact, actually directs the world, he controls the world. And they actually say it explicitly. The Rambam is referring to these documents of the Sabians who say explicitly, and this is actually corroborated by recent studies. Yeah.
The sun and the moon are two of the seven?
No, there are seven planets. The Koich Ve'Leches, Shemes HaKochavim, in my opinion, is called Koich Ve'Haleches, which the Rambam in the...
they didn't know about Neptune and Uranus.
I don't know, whatever it is. Some of them refer to planets. If you look at the Rambam in Kiddush HaKodesh, in other words, he speaks about seven, some of which were planets, like Mars, etc., etc. The other ones are the sun and the moon. Uvazeh HaLoshen, Omro, Moziata Shizkiu B'Sifreim Elu B'Sifrei Yistoriya Shalem Es HaMaisa B'Om HaVino. So they actually speak about, in other words, he says that actually in their books, and in books of history, they actually mention Avraham Avinu, right? Hey, Momu, Balzeh Haloshen, Kasha Avraham, Shitchanech, actually calls it Kota, and in fact, actually, this was a place in Babylonia. Chalak alatzibo v'tan sheish poil zulas Hashemesh. In other words, he argued with the, with the local culture, right? And that he claimed that there has to be a power which moves the sun. Tanu negdoi al smach kach v'kach, and they argued him on this thing. Now, in other words, him tzinu b'tanu seim b'sapu'ules ha'gluyas la'en shal ha'shemesh b'metzias. In other words, basically, in other words, they argued, you see, that the sun comes out and directs the entire world. So Avraham said to them, tzadatim, you're true. Hu kagazim b'yadanagar. So the shemesh, the sun, is like a sore in the hand of a carpenter. And some of these books mention some of his arguments against him. They mention that the king actually locked him up, right? And still in prison, Avraham Avinu brought proofs against them. I'm turning over the page. And the king was afraid. He was worried that Avraham Avinu might sway the people and cause them to lose their quote-unquote faith. Therefore, he, in fact, actually banished him to Israel, to Eretz Yisrael. He basically impounded all of his belongings. This is, of course, what they tell the story. In other words, the Nabataean Book of Agriculture, which the Rambam refers to many times, speaks about the story. Of course, it was popular in ancient books. In other words, of course, it's popular in present too, but in ancient books, are somehow slant stories, in accordance with any type of political agenda. But nonetheless, what, in fact, actually the Rambam is coming to tell us is, in fact, actually that there are, in other words, Avraham Avinu is not just a legend, a myth, but rather we see that the historical records do record the existence of an individual who, in fact, argued on the idolatry of the culture. Now, the fact is that it's, the Rambam here, right, the Rambam is here, in other words, is going to cast a little bit of doubt on actually the version of the story. He says, a little bit later on, in other words, of course, it's not mentioned in any of these books, what we know from our tradition, and truth from our tradition. Doesn't speak about the revelation. Because, of course, they had a You know, they had an agenda. Since Avraham Avinu argued against their beliefs, they saw them to be a liar, so certainly they're not going to mention that the Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed himself to them. Any sofer shekasher hu alav shalom cholak hashit zasam shalom shkulam git for oisem atoyim halalo gino oisem vizizlubas. No question that when Avraham Avinu argued with them, then for sure they probably cursed him and they, you know, they treated him with tremendous destitution. So in other words, when we came to Shavuot Zos, Lamana Kalis Allah, Adif Al Emes Kavod and Nemalei. Because of this, it says Varcham Varcham Kalar Or Nivchak Kolchay Fil Adam. So in other words, the Rambam is saying is that because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, actually, blesses him and says those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. The Rambam is giving is understanding that the Chumash, the simple meaning of the Chumash, is indicating that in fact actually the people who cursed him, probably because of his opinions, right? Mekalelcha or I will curse those who curse you. V'nivichu b'chal komish p'rosa adama. Now, the fact is that it's interesting is that the Rambam here, right? The Rambam here is not invoking any of the midrashim of Chazal. For example, we have many midrashim of Chazal that indicate, for example, Nibrai threw Avraham Avinu into the fire, and many midrashim of Chazal. It's very interesting that some of the Foshim even raised the question: how come the Torah doesn't mention everything that, in fact, actually transpired to Avraham Avinu, and the fact that he suffered because of his opinions? Here we see what the Rambam is doing: is the Rambam is actually trying to take what I would say like a very, very sort of like an objective view of history. In other words, what he's saying is that, in fact, actually, we have to understand the Chumash in light of really what happened, that there are historical accounts which, even though they acknowledge the existence of Avraham Avinu, right, they don't speak about revelation. We have to understand that every culture is going to take a certain, you know, specific cultural view, right, with a certain type of political venue, and this shouldn't affect what we understand to be the truth of our tradition. Now, the fact is that a person might come and say, well, how do you know that there was a person called Avraham Avinu? I mean, in other words, if a person would chas v'shalom, God forbid, in fact, cast a dispersion on Chazal, right? How would Chazal know in any way that there was a person called Avraham Avinu who in any way, for example, fought idolatry? In other words, it doesn't mention anywhere in Parashat Lech Lecha that Avraham Avinu, when he left for Eretz Yisrael, left, right, as a result of the fact that he, in fact, fought paganism. Now, the Rambam, in fact, later on, in this parak, brings a pasuk from Yehoshua, on page 525. This is actually a pasuk that all of you know from the Haggadah Shal Pesach. And there Yehoshua says to the nation, right, Be'eva ha'na'a yashvor sechem me'olam. In other words, on the other side of the river lived your forefathers, right? Me'olam means from many generations ago, Terach Avi Avram, and it says VaYavdu Elohim Achirim. They worship other gods, and then it says I took Avraham Avinu, and I brought him right to El Yisrael. So we see clearly that Yehoshua is giving clear evidence. This is actually we have explicitly in the in Tanakh, clear evidence that Avraham Avinu in fact leaves for El Yisrael. And part of that was in order, you know, of course, Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded him to leave, but the context of his leaving was the fact that, you know, he left an idolatrous culture. So in other words, we shouldn't think that, in other words, the Midrashim have no basis in Scripture. They have a real basis in Scripture based upon this pasuk of Yehoshua. So in other words, if we look just at the Scripture itself, we see very clearly that Scripture, you know, in fact, takes account of the fact that Avraham Avinu left an idolatrous culture and came down to Israel. Now, besides that, there are other historical accounts, which, I mean, the Rambam, I mean, indicates this, but, for example, we have other objective, let's call it, you know, not from accounts of Avraham Avinu himself. So, for example, if I could read from Josephus, from his book, The Jewish Antiquities, I think it's section 1, 154 to 157. So I'm going to read from him. He, that means Avraham Avinu, thus became the first person to argue that there is a single God who's the creator of all things. That whatever any of these other things contribute to the good of the world, they are enabled to do so at his command, with a capital H, and not by any inherent force of their own. He was able to figure out this out by the changes which land and sea undergo, and those that are connected with the sun and the moon, and from all those occurring in the skies. For if these bodies had any power of themselves, they would surely have arranged themselves to be regularly ordered. But since this is not so, it is clear that they came together for our benefit, not by any authority of their own, but by the power of the One who commands, to whom alone it is proper to give honor and thanks. Because of these ideas, the Chaldeans, the other people of Mesopotamia, rose up against him, and having resolved to keep with God's will and with his help, to leave his home, he settled in the land of Canaan. So here we see Josephus, right, at the turn of the century, right? In fact, actually, stating, and Josephus tries to be a very objective historian, the ancient historian Josephus, in fact, actually attesting to the fact that this was, in fact, actually a tradition that goes back, really, to, in other words, we'd call it secular subjective history, right, ancient history, that, in fact, Avraham Avinu argued with the Chaldeans and the, you know, and the Mesopotamian culture, and, in fact, right, was fought against idolatry. It's interesting that the Arabs in the Quran actually adopt the same view. The Quran, I think it's chapter 6, I think from, I don't know, from 74, right, chapter 6.
The Muslims in the Quran.
The Muslims in the Quran. It says, when Abraham said to his father Azar, "Takest thou idols for gods? I see thee and thy people in manifest error." So we were showing Abraham the kingdom of the heavens, the earth, that he might be those having sure faith. When night had sprout over him, he saw a star and said, "This is my Lord." But when it set, he said, "I love not setters." When he saw the moon rising, he said, "This is my Lord." But when it set, he said, "If my Lord does not guide me, I shall surely be the people of gone astray." When he saw the sun rising, he said, "This is my Lord, this is greatest." But when it set, he said, "O my people, surely I am quit of that you associate. I have turned my face to him who originated the heavens and the earth. I am a man of pure faith. I am not one of the idolaters." So we see even here, not that we need a haskama, but we see over here that even, in other words, Islam, right, in the Quran, right, also understood that, you know, this was a well-known fact, historical fact, that in fact, you know, Avraham Avinu battled the idolatrous culture, which means it wasn't made up by Chazal, Chas v'Shalom, but we see here that it was a historical record, right?
Islam came on the scene after Chazal.
I understand that, but you see, if the Islam was an argument in Chazal, it must be that, you know, they independently understood this to be an objective historical fact. So in other words, but certainly Josephus certainly went before Chazal. So in other words, so in any case, we see here clearly, right, is that in other words, what the Rambam is saying is that, in other words, ancient historical records record Avraham Avinu, who in fact, battled idolatry. The fact that they don't mention the revelation of Avraham Avinu, at least, you know, the Nabataean culture, agriculture, doesn't mention him, just because of the fact that, in other words, they were happy to get rid of him. They wouldn't, you know, so, but for political reasons. But nonetheless, what I want to say is that we clearly say that the existence of Avraham Avinu as a person who fought against idolatrous culture was a fact in ancient history, which is the important thing. Okay, now, says the Rambam, is that this was, of course, at the time of Avraham Avinu.
Maybe we'll mention a little bit later, is that there is a little bit of scholarly, discussion, right, about the issue of Avraham Avinu and monotheism. Mirz Hashem, I intend actually to address this very, very directly, but right now I want to continue the Mardavucha. But basically, everybody should hang on. The discussion is not over here. We're going to continue Mirz Hashem, but at this point, I just want to go on further with the Mardavucha. The Rambam says, "Soifa hayam ha'sha'ana roim hayom." In other words, that was at that time. Now, at the end, right, we see what happens today. Shiroiv toishvei ha'aretz, most people live in the world. Maskimu la'aritzo lasbor b'zichoy. In other words, most people in the world acknowledge, right, Avraham Avinu and praise him and wish to be blessed by him. Ad kedeshet b'chachasim elav misha enum b'tzetzav. Even, in other words, other people besides the Jews actually, you know, look at themselves as being his progeny. In cholik alav and misha eno makim begad lusoy lamatz ridi oisa ada nechedes shenoytu bekisvi haaretz kemo koyfrei atokim b'ktzei tzofen v'hoidim b'ktzei adoram. Except for a few pagans that live in different places in India or in Turkey, nonetheless, says the Rambam, the entire world has basically moved towards monotheism, and everybody acknowledges this is Avraham Avinu. Shrei halalu hem sridi asa tzabaya. Why do the
Indians and the Turks still cling to paganism because they're remnants of the Sabians. This was this paganistic religion was something which actually was, you know, was throughout the entire world. They thought that God was actually the spirit of the moon. Basically, the God was a spirit, and the body of God was the galgal nekochavim. That means that was the sun or and the stars. Abu Becha Eben Al Tzakik Aben Baga Hiskiret Perusho LeFizika. Basically, the Rambam is saying is what the Rambam is saying is a very interesting thing. The Rambam says that the world's evolved. The world's evolved. In other words, at the time of Avraham Avinu lived, people were pagans, right? Today, most people have embraced, at least, something which comes closer to monotheism. Okay, now comes the Rambam interesting. He says, because of this, the Sabians believed in Kadmas HaOlam. They believed in the eternity of the world. Right? Because for them, the heavens were a deity. They maintain that Adam, and assume this is Adam, Adam Arisha, he was born to parents like other people. But he was considered to be a prophet of the moon, and he called people to worship the moon. And basically, he works on agriculture. Now they thought that Noah, in fact, actually was a farmer. He engaged himself in agriculture, but in other words, he was against worshiping idols. Therefore, they claim that in fact Noah they repudiate Noah and claim that he was an idol worshiper. They say that he was put in jail. They tell stories about him. They claim that Chase actually argued on his father, Adam. They're liars whose lies are very, very humorous. Okay, basically they were a bunch of fools and idiots who, as far as possible from philosophy. And then when Adam actually went from India and came to Babel, to Babylonia, and he came to the climate of Babylonia, so he did all sorts of wondrous things. He has an eight zov, Tzomeach, who was a golden tree that grew, Baal Olim, Banafim, Eitz Ve'Evin. In other words, often there are types of pearls and stones. He vi Olim shall Eitz Yorak shall Eitz Lo Sofosim. He had different types of leaves that wouldn't be burned by the fire, and etc. etc. So basically, he had all these stupid tales. Umaminim laboy zoyz peila denoyim betevel adas hayedim es hayu nativi. Basically, what they're trying to do is try to strengthen their opinion that basically that the world was eternal, right? That's what the Rambam says. And their old stories are basically a way of rewriting history and somehow reinforcing their notions of the eternity of the world. Kasher gadol amud shel olam. The Amud Shalom, the pillar of the world, is referred to Avraham Avinu. Vizbarlo sheish aloya nivdal. Avraham Avinu thought, came to believe that there was a God who was separate from the world. Sheinu guf lekoyach guf. He wasn't a physical, nor was he a power in anything which is physical. Shekolak hachavak al golam Elohim yitziroisav. And that basically that he created all the stars and he created all the heavenly bodies. Ve'evin is absurd shepa'oisim zipuim. And he realized that all these stupid stories that he was taught were all absurd. He began to contradict them. He revealed the lies that was their content. And actually, in other words, he announced this. He publicized this. Who called B'Shem Hashem Kelayla? This he called B'Shem Hashem Kelayla, Tchiyah mitzarefes and metzias aloya v'eschidish ha'olam ha'idei aloya azeh. In other words, basically, what is Avraham Avinu doing? Avraham Avinu is doing two things. First of all, there are two things that Avraham Avinu is doing. Number one, he's announcing the existence of God as something separate from the world. And number two, he's actually chidush ha'olam. That was the world, in fact, actually was created ex nihilo. Now, it's very interesting that this pasuk, this verse, is in fact actually b'shem Hashem kel olam. The Ram actually brings it in the chapters of creation. There, you know, in other words, there the Rambam in the second Chelak Gemara Nevochim. I think it's Perek Yudalit. I think Perek Yudalit Yud Gimel. There he describes that Avraham Avinu was actually the person who actually, in other words, who came up with this idea that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world ex nihilo. Now, I want to go back now, and now that we've read through the Megillah Nevuchim, it's clear that the Rambam is directing us, and the question is in what direction he's directing us. First of all, the very fact is that the Rambam, of course, is explaining that Avraham Avinu grows up in a paganistic culture. That's clear. And in other words, and he's not relying upon the Chumash for this. Of course, this is not in the Chumash. I mean, it's in Chazal, but the Rambam is providing, you know, sources, you know, Gentile, paganistic sources of this that describe, in fact, actually the culture which Avraham Avinu grows up. It's interesting that the Rambam is, in fact, what he's doing is that he's claiming that in the Chumash itself, we see that Avraham Avinu calls out B'shem Hashem kel olam. Now, in fact, actually, this pasuk to which he calls out for, which actually refers to, is in Perachof Aleph and pasuk Lamed Gimel, and there it says that after he makes a bris with Avimelech, it says Vayita Eshel Bever Shava. Right? He plants an Eshel in Be'er Shava, Vayikoshem, he called up there, B'shem Hashem Kel Olam. In other words, the Rambam understands B'shem Hashem Kel Olam is actually Avraham Avinu's declaration, the existence of God who's separate from the world, and also, too, the notion of creation ex nihilo. Right? And in fact, actually, one can understand that the fact is, this is Hashem Kel Olam. This is his call to the entire world. Now, what's interesting is we see earlier. This is in Parshas Vayera. We see earlier in the Chumash in Bereishis, in Perek Yudalit, that Avraham Avinu has an encounter with Avimelech. What's very interesting is that in both these places, also with Avimelech, with Malchut Tzedek, Melech Shalem, after he defeats the Malachim, the kings. And here in Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Yud Chayas, or Malchisedek, Melech Shalem, Hoitzi Lechem V'Yayin, right? He took out Lechem V'Yayin, takes out bread and wine, V'Choyin Lekel Elyon, right? And he's the Koyin, the priest, Lekel Elyon. He's the priest. And V'Yvacheyu V'Yayin Ha'Buruch Avrom Lekel Elyon, Kenei Shamayin V'Orin, Elyon Shalem Kenei V'Orin. So it's very interesting. He blesses him and says, V'Yayin Ha'Avrom, now, what's interesting is, in the Megillah Nevuchim, actually, if you listen to our lectures on the part of creation, on this hashkafasakal.com, you'll see that the Rambam, in Perek Lamed, chapter 30, of the second Megillah Nevuchim, says that there are four names in the Chumash, which describe God. And one name is Koine Shamayim Va'aretz, and the Rabbin says that shame, that name of God, is Noita Elakadmus, which in fact that name appears, in other words, you know, carries with it the concept of the eternity of the universe, which makes sense because if a person acquires something, the thing has to exist before he acquires it. This is what the Rambam says. So it's interesting, is that. So what happens is that Malchisedek blesses Avraham Avinu, the Kel Elyon Koinei Shemayim Va'aretz. He's Kel Elyon. He's the higher God. But of course, Koinei Shemayim Va'aretz seems to indicate that what? He's eternal.
Right?
You say Malki Tzadok was a paganist?
I'm a paganist. He believed in something of a god, but he believed in Kodesh and Mayim Va'aretz. Probably a paganist.
Because Avram says exact same last.
What? No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Why don't you hear the Chumash? So he says, Vayayimah, and he says to him, okay? He says, Ker El Yoin Kodesh and Mayim Va'aretz. Avram Avinu doesn't say the same. Vayayimah Avram Amelech's day, Hare Moise Yadi El Hashem, Ker El Yoin Kodesh and Mayim Va'aretz. He adds the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So what happens is, the way in fact, actually, that Rambam is learning, in my opinion is that v'yikoshom b'shem Hashem kel oila. In other words, melech zdoi malchit tzedek, right? Call God kel oyin, el yoin, koine shemayin v'oletz, Avram Avinu, right? Says Haroyzi Yodi El Hashem Yud Kei Vavke Kel El Yoyin Kodesha Mayim Va'aretz. He is Yud Kei Vavke, meaning that what they understood Kel El Yoyin means the greatest power, but of course a power can be something which is physically in the world. That's why it's eternal. When Avraham Avinu says Hashem Kel Ein and Kodesha Mayim Va'aretz, the Hashem there is indicating what a power that exists that's separate from the world. So later on in Pashat Vayera, when it says Vayita Eishel Bever Shova Vayikra Hashem B'Shem Hashem Kel El Yoin, the meaning is it's the Shem Kel Oila which is important. In other words, it's the God who's separate from the world, who empowers all of the Kel, who empowers, in other words, who gives creation to Kel El Yoin, that which empowers the world. In other words, I think what the Rambam is coming to say, is this clear?
How does the word kind of in this,
No. What's like this? Malki Tzedek calls the Rambam Avinu and says, Kel El Yoin Kodesha Mayim Va'aretz. Kel El Yoin means there's a higher force which empowers the world, and the world's always been a terror. He didn't create the world ex nihilo. Right? Kel El Yoin, the high force, Kodesha Mayim Va'aretz, which basically empowers the world. Avram Avinu adds Yud Kei Vav Kei, Kel El Yoin Kodesha Mayim Va'aretz means there's a God, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And he is the Kel Oyna Kadesh Mayim Va'aretz. In other words, the addition of the Yud Kei Vav Kei is in fact actually Avraham Avinu's, that's his chiddush here, that the God who empowers the world is separate from the world. In other words, you say Kel Oyna Kadesh Mayim Va'aretz, but really this God is Yud Kei Vav Kei. He's separate from the world.
But the world is still eternal?
Wait a second. Now, what's interesting is that you're making a good point. Because number one, the Rambam, first of all, the Rambam says there are four names of God and Kodesh Mayim is another to eternity. So what I claim is the following thing. And first of all, we've gone clearly through the Rambam in creation, that the Rambam, for example, we've spoken about this many, many times, that not only does the Rambam chapter 25 of section 2 acknowledge that one could believe in a Platonic concept of eternity, right? And says the Rambam, this, you know, is commensurable with the belief in the Torah. But actually, we spoke about in detail that, in fact, actually it was clear from the Rambam's proof of God's existence and corporeality that one must assume the eternity of the world. What I want to claim is the following thing. The Rambam, right, is being very subtle here. The Rambam says they believed in an eternity, but without a separate God. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says they believed in an eternity, they believed in a kadmus, and didn't believe in a separate God. And I argued, right, in the lectures on creation, that according to the Rambam, there's a irreducible dichotomy. The eternity of the world guarantees God's incorporeality, but on the other hand, though, in other words, it has to, you know, there also exists a kind of Christian theolo, which means that God is not subject to nature, but in fact, actually, God creates the world of his own free will. In other words, the Avodah Zarah, the idolatry of the Sabians, or of Malki Tzedek, is that they had one without the other. They believed purely in eternity, but not in a God who was separate. In other words, not in a God who was incorporeal. He was just the greatest force, who fuels the world. In other words, by the addition of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that defines eternity. In other words, Yud Kei Vav Kei is creation next to Yolo. Koinesha Mayim Va'aretz is the eternity, which is what? Which is incorporeality. So, in other words, when the Rambam says, who kara b'shem Hashem kel oylam, who mitzarefes, as mitzias aloya ves chidush ha'oylam ayideh aloya hazeh. In other words, chidush ha'oylam ayideh means is that actually, number one, mitzias of God means the existence of God and the what? And the, in other words, mitzias of God means the existence of God, right? And the chidush ha'oylam ayideh aloya, and the world was b'chadita. What's the part that's, in other words, the two parts. There's the Metzias of God, and then there's in fact actually that he created the world ex nihilo. So in other words, what are these two things? So I would claim yud ke vav ke. In other words, the Rambam understands. In other words, kel oilam refers to. In other words, yud ke vav ke, and the Rambam basically is the concept that God creates the world ex nihilo. Kel olam, right, is that there's a God who's powerful, who, in other words, who in fact actually what? Who generates the world. So we have here, the God who generates the world doesn't necessarily create ex nihilo. That's kel olam. He's the what's called the Baal HaKoyches, as you would say. In other words, he's the first mover. That's a reptilian God. But then there's also yud kei vav kei, which is the creation ex nihilo. So in fact is that when Malchut Tzedek says to Avraham Avinu, Kel Olyan Kinesha Mayim Va'aretz, right? In other words, he believed the sun that generates the world, but it's part of the world. When in fact Avraham Avinu adds Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? He's acknowledging that there's two aspects. There's the sun that propels the world, but this thing is actually separate from the world. And he says that the Malchut Tzedek. Yeah.
So Malchut Tzedek has the Aristotelian concept of God?
I think the Rambam would understand that even though Aristotle comes later and believes that God's incorporeal, but in other words, in ancient times, the concept of eternity was linked with paganism, with a corporal God. In other words, what Aristotle did was he thought of a concept where on one hand God's eternal, on the other hand he's incorporeal. However, that was a later development in philosophy, as the Rambam says, they're very far from philosophy. In other words, for the ancients, the concept of eternity of the world necessarily meant that God was part of nature. He was something in the physical world. Which means, what I want to say is that the Rambam is acknowledging that the concept of monotheism has changed. In other words, what Avraham Avinu was coming to announce to the world, there's a God who's separate from the world. He's not contained in the world, right? Even though, in fact, he regulates the laws of nature, which we would determine as being eternity, he's separate from the world. That's what Avraham Avinu was coming to say. In other words, he acknowledges that there's a higher force that directs the world. On the other hand, he recognizes that God, like the Rambam says, is separate from the world. However, the Rambam understood that in Avraham Avinu's statements right over here, we have the historical origin of what we called modern-day monotheism. That means creation ex nihilo, right? However, with the concept that God is incorporeal, which is contingent upon the eternity of the world. In other words, what the Rambam is saying over here is that the Chumash, the Bible, is speaking on its own terms. Avraham Avinu is introducing a concept that the Rambam says that God is separate from the world. But God is separate from the world, but he's also a creator. He's separate and he's a creator. The separateness is the Yud Kei Vav Kei, but the creator part is Kel Yoyin Koinei Shemayim Va'aretz, right? However, in other words, when the Rambam, Maimonides, argues with Aristotle, right? He's having the same type of argument, but the argument now has reached a higher level. Aristotle acknowledges incorporeality, the world's eternal. The Rambam says that even though God's incorporeal, which has to do with eternity, God also creates the world ex nihilo. Those are these two dinim, this dichotomy. So in other words, Avraham Avinu put together two names of God. That's in the times of the Chumash. The Rambam puts together two concepts. The eternity, which is incorporeality, and also the creation ex nihilo. Why am I saying this? Why am I going into this in detail? Because the claim is made by modern Bible critics, right? Some of who profess to be religious, that in fact, there's really no source, we don't know anywhere that there's a source for monotheism, right, in the Chumash. In other words,
in other words, the critics look at the Chumash and say, oh, it says this name, it says that name, so maybe, in other words, Avraham Avinu was a polytheist. No, he worshipped Yahweh, he worshipped Kel Elyah, he could have Shemayim V'aret. In other words, he was much more of a eclectic, you know, believer. But the fact is, we see that there's a pattern, that the Rambam's playing, we have to understand the Chumash in terms of the times it's describing. In other words, at the time of the Chumash, people were idolaters. They believed that there was a God who was imminent in the physical world, and he kept the world going. Comes in front of me and says, you want to know something? There is a God who moves the world, but there's also a God who's separate from the world. And that's Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Now, take those two concepts, that's dichotomy, and now project a few thousand years forward in history. What do you get? You get Aristotle and the Rambam. Aristotle says, look, the world's eternal, this is an incorporeal God, but it doesn't create the world ex nihilo. Right? And therefore, man is really determined by science. Comes the Rambam and says, no, I grant you that you have to believe in eternity from the standpoint of God's incorporeality, but I claim that the world was also created ex nihilo too. So in other words, basically the dispute between the Rambam and Aristotle has its precedent in this discussion between Avraham Avinu and Melech Sdom and Malchut Tzedek. So my answer to these self-professed Bible critics is that you don't really understand how to read the Chumash. And that's what the Rambam is, I think that's what the Rambam is saying. When the Rambam says, B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, what the Rambam is saying is that in fact, Avraham Avinu is combining actually these two aspects of God relative to what people thought. That on one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, is separate from the world, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. On the other hand though, he created the world, that's Kel Olam. Yeah, there was the power of the world. Yeah, question.
How could Rambam achieve an understanding of Yud Kei Vav Kei through Seichel, through his logic? Doesn't Rambam say that Avram developed his discovered God through using his intellect?
He did, but he No. What are we talking about? Avraham Avinu
is the most powerful kayach of ever.
Avraham Avinu, the Rambam says here, and also says too in the Yad HaChazakah, the Yad in Paragav, because of the Zohar, that Avraham Avinu understood that if something moves, there must be a first mover, which is pre-notion of the proof actually that the Rambam himself uses in the Megillah Nevuchim, that could not be an infinite progression of causes.
But yeah, that's Malchut Tzedek's God.
Malchut Tzedek's God is that there's a mover who moves the universe, but nonetheless, he's part of the universe. The sun is the first mover.
But you would never. How would you ever get? How through logic would you get to God that's outside of the universe?
How would logic get there? Because the Rambam says, he saw the sun. In other words, Avraham Avinu came to the conclusion that since the sun is moving, there must be a power that moves the sun. In other words, that's basically. That's an argument that the Rambam uses in the Megillah Nevuchim himself from Aristotle.
Again, I understand. Malchut Tzedek says.
Malchut Tzedek says there's a higher. This is the word. Malchut Tzedek is not a polytheist.
He's a polytheist.
He believes, though. He believes. Malchut Tzedek. You want to say Malchut Tzedek is a chash of a person. He believes that there's one God, Kenei Shemayim V'Aretz. So he's not a polytheist. There's one higher God. But as we know, like the Rambam says in history, that they believe this was the sun, the moon, or by the sun. Okay, there's one God, and he moves. He basically makes everything move.
Right.
Okay. Comes the Avraham Avinu and says, there must be a God separate. Who's not inherent to the world. That's Yud Kei Vav Kei.
The prime move of Malchut Tzedek is part of the world, and the prime move of Avraham Avinu is outside the world.
Right, yeah, but like that,
how do you get that from logic? Why should that be logically true?
I don't see what your problem is. The Avraham Avinu argued that something, in order to move, must itself be moved. Because you see that the sun moves too. The sun comes up and comes down. The sun is also moving. In other words, Avraham Avinu saw the sun is moving itself.
Why did Malchut Tzedek make that jump then?
Let me tell you something. For you, it's another portion. Chas v'shalom. Let me tell you something. If Avraham Avinu did what we're told to Vatal HaSeichel, then we never have the Jewish people. I mean, what the Rambam is coming to tell us is that to mevatel your seichel, to basically to sacrifice your intellect, right, means the death merits spiritual death. But in other words, what I'm saying is the following thing. Malchut Tzedek understood, he saw the sun, and he figured since the sun is the largest, the most powerful of things, it must move the rest of the world. I think that most people felt like that.
So he's the final step.
Right, Avraham Avinu had a level of abstraction that since we see that the sun goes around, the world, there must be something that moves the sun too, because if it's the most powerful object, why would it itself move? Why would itself move? There must be someone moving the sun. Okay? The main point that I want to make here is very, very important. The Bible critics are claiming that we don't see monotheism in a Rabbah view. You can say, yeah, with this and that. I mean, we don't expect Avraham Avinu to speak in Aristotelian terms. We have to understand the Chumash in the context, in the historical context as it is. In other words, the Chumash, in order to give us historical accuracy, has to be understood in the context in which it is. However, we have to be intelligent enough, right, to understand the Devar Hashem, the message, which is, in fact, in other words, being revealed to us. When Malkut Tzedek says, Kelel Yoyin Kreneisha Mai Va'aretz, he means is the sun, which is the most powerful thing, I can't look at it. And Kreneisha Mai Va'aretz, it moves the world. But the sun is part of the world. Avraham Avinu says, I agree with a God who moves the world. I don't agree with the spirit who has nothing to do with nature. God moves the world. But he's also separate from the world. And that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Avraham Avinu answers him and says, you know what? Hashem Kelel Yoy, Yud Kei Vav Kei Kelel Yoy, Kenen Shabbai Vahalets. It's true that there's a God who moves the world. But the God who moves the world is also separate from the world too. In other words, in the language of the Chumash, we have an irreducible dichotomy between God in and of himself and God who creates the world. Therefore, right, like the Rambam says, Avraham Avinu, right, calls out, B'Shem, Hashem, Kel, Eila, Oila, and says, the Rambam, Metzias Eloya, the existence of God, V'chidash Ha'olam Al Yodai, and that he himself, he created the world, what? Right? Created the world. So what does it mean, the existence of a God who created the world? In other words, Metzias of a God means the Metzias of a God who moves the world. That's Kel Oila. The Chidash of the world, the God is separate from the world, that he created ex nihilo, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. So in other words, what the Rambam is saying is, the debate I'm having with Aristotle and the position which we've taken in the HashkafaCircle.com that there's an irreducible dichotomy between God who creates the world and God independent of the world. In fact, we could see that clearly reads into the Pesukim, into the verses of the Chumash. And God forbid Chas v'Shalom to say that there isn't monotheism in the Chumash. Not only is there monotheism, there's a very sophisticated understanding of monotheism. That's what I want to say. I think it would help for some of the interpreters of the Bible to actually take a look at the Rambam and try to understand them, because I think that the Rambam also knew how to learn Chumash. Okay, that's my point. Okay. Very good. Now, I want to go a little bit further. The Rambam goes on and speaks about the funny stories of the Sabians. I don't really have the patience to go through all of this. If you turn to page 524, right, the Rambam refers to the Mishnah Torah. So, the question that Rambam here raises is, okay, Avraham Avinu, what was the role of Moshe Rabbeinu? What was the role of Moshe Rabbeinu? So says the Rambam, right? Page 524. Kivar bi'alnu, b'chibirenu ha'godol Mishnah Torah, in our great work, the Mishnah Torah, Shavram Avinu hachel seisas adeyas ha'ela betanais v'kriya rofa ayidei ritzi anoshim u'mishichosim nitzius b'mtzois maisi chesed klapeyim. In other words, that the Rambam, in fact, contradicted the arguments, right, with the opinions of these people, in other words, these idolaters, but Tanois, with argument, in other words, it was intellectual argument, of the Kriya Rafa, but he wasn't a Kanoi, he was soft. Right, in other words, he tried to convince people. It's very, very interesting is that we see something very interesting in the Rambam. I think, you know, this is very interesting. There's a, I don't know, maybe it's a little bit of a garata, but I think the Rambam is saying something very interesting. The Rambam is saying that the Netziv says that it's a Dhamma to Bereshis, that, you know, the Chazal, the Bereshis is called Sefer HaYasha. Ha'alohu Kesuva Sefer HaYasha. So the Netziv says, what's Sefer HaYasha? So, and Bilab says, Tomos Nafshi Meis Yisharim, which refers to the office, according to Chazal. Why was Avinu called Yasha? So the Netziv explains that even though Avinu detested the Shita, the theology of paganism, he was still a mensch. He still acted with people. Says the Netziv, this was says the Netziv, look at this Hadoma. The Netziv says, this was the sin that led to the destruction of the Second Temple. He says they were Lindei Torah, right? They were Tzaddikim. But he had a slightly different hashkafa than they had, the labor Jew heretic. It says that the Tziv, that's what it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hazina was Tzaddik V'Yasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like these types of Tzaddikim. You have to be Yasha too. It's very interesting that someone asked me, that the Tziv is saying a Chiddush, he was a liberal. I would have claimed the first person to say that Chiddush was the Meir Nevuchim, the Rambam the Meir Nevuchim. The Rambam says that even though Avraham Avinu detested idolatry, he risked his life, his entire life mission was against idolatry. You see that he had nothing personal against idolaters. He treated them with respect. He tried to argue with them, you know, politely and nicely and softly, not scream with them and call them heretics and abikosim and udei vadazar and minim. And it's interesting, ben tzos maisei chesed klapeyim. I mean, this is actually the story of, in other words, we see that, but Rashi says in that by the story of the three malachim, the three people came to Avraham Avinu, Pashas Vayera. So Rashi says they were washing off, Avraham Avinu brought them to wash off their feet because, in fact, they worshipped the sand. In other words, the Rambam understood that this was actually part and parcel of Avraham Avinu's, you know, relationship to people. That even though I argue with you and I argue against you intellectually, nonetheless, I respect you as a person. On the contrary, I try to chesed to you. And in fact, another thing is that really part and parcel, what the Rambam thing is saying is, this is much like this in certainly in the Mishnah Torah, part and parcel by monotheism is actually a recognition of the Kafa Tzedek. The Rambam calls it in Avodah Zorah, in Hilchos Avodah Zorah, Perak Aleph there, the Kafa Tzedek, that part of monotheism is recognizing, you know, the importance of ethics and being ethical to other people. So here they are. Okay, now, I think we're going to stop over here. Because to enter into the rest of the perek is going to get quite complicated. Because we come to Moshe Rabbeinu, then we begin a different era in history. But I want everybody to really to think a little bit about what I said about the psukim. It's very, very important in this era in which we're being polluted and contaminated by all different types of readings of the Chumash without anyone to answer them. Instead of calling, you know, calling people names. You know, maybe we use the Rambam as an example. From Avinu's example, if we actually look at the Chumash, we can see that calling Avraham Avinu the first monotheist not only is true historically, but in fact, actually, it carries philosophical truth until this day. Anyway, until the next time, from an undisclosed place to Yerushalayim HaKodesh, called to Matzlocha Rabbah.